What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a special guest to this week, who's actually been on the podcast previously, I want to say.
Hooty
we did our COVID episode last year, and that actually went really well. A lot of people liked that episode. But yeah, we have do you go by Yana?
I go by Yana, but I mean my name's Ayana, so I don't mind both, but a lot of people call me Yana. So hey you guys.
Oh, okay,
Some of
because
us call you Niecy. Okay.
we don't I mean I dig it, so I didn't want to say which one because like people introduce me as something that I don't want to be called sometimes, and so I don't want
I
to, like,
feel
you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know these people. Like, we don't know these people. So it's like, don't be just calling
that.
me whatever. Like, we friends. Like, we cool or something. Nah, fam. But no, yes, we have Yana with us. And she says she's cool with it. So we'll let it rock. But yeah, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things this week. One of them being Mortal Kombat. And I'm just going to say right now, I did not like it. But I have some words for you people because you're being foolish. And I'm going to explain in a bit. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk a little bit about this week and what's been going on. I've been watching a lot of, what is the name of that show? Invincible on Prime. And it's pretty good. It's an adult animated show. We talked about it previously a little bit. And I want to say they're moving towards their season finale. They actually already got greenlit for season 2 and 3, which is pretty great. It's a show by Robert Kirkman. Well, he did the comic book. Also, he's the guy who did The Walking Dead, if you didn't know. And I've been reading the comic. So I've been kind of like watching the show and then reading the comic. I kind of OD'd a little bit and read like 90 issues, like trying to
What?
catch up. I bought the compendium, I think that's how you say that. Via Kindle, and so it came with like one through, I don't know, 50 something, and then I bought another one. And I just kind of wanted to, the story is really interesting. This idea of like superheroes and like showing the destruction that happens when they fight like supervillains that kind of gets like, washed away when you watch something like Marvel. This show actually shows you what happens if two villains or two, a hero and a villain get in a fight. There's a lot of collateral damage. People get killed. And it's mad violent. And it's like, oh, being a superhero isn't like, it's not like Spider-Man, where like someone gets punched, he falls over, and he's, whatever. Like, no, this guy gets punched through a building, the building falls on people. And so they have to deal with the repercussions of that. And I thought that was very interesting coming from a, the last few years where it's been Marvel Universe has like dominated everything. And how it's like happy and for the most part, like people die, but it's not as dire. Well, I guess Endgame was. Anywho, but seeing people like seeing people having to deal with, destruction and, the stuff that kind of comes along with being a superhero is very interesting. And so the comic book and the show, are paced a little differently. The show speeds things up a bit, but it also drags things out. So like the first, I guess, season is one arc in the comic book that goes away like really quickly. And so I'm like, man, we're still on this, but at the same time, certain people's motivations, certain people's actions are done very quickly. They take out a lot of parts, I guess, of like exposition and things like that. And so it's a weird thing to see when you like when you're reading the book and then watching the show. That said, I don't know which one I like better. They're both entertaining for different reasons. So, if you haven't seen Invincible, I recommend checking it out. If you have Prime, it's a pretty cool show. Have you guys been watching anything as of late?
What have you been
No, I've
watching,
been
Ayana?
slacking. I've been slacking.
I recently, last night, I watched the movie Synchronic, which I know it came out 2020, but I've never saw it until last night. And I don't know, like I love sci-fi type of movies and stuff like that. And the movies about like time travel and the concept of time is, pretty interesting. I love that type of stuff. But I don't know, I felt like the movie was like, I don't know. I just feel like it was like missing something, or I wanted more, or I feel like they could have did better. I mean, what's his name? Isn't his name Anthony Mackie? Is that his the actor? Yeah, I feel like he did a great job. Like, of course, he's a great actor. I don't know, but the rest of the movie, I felt like, I don't know. I feel like it was just like underwhelming to me. I guess the story kind of seemed kind of cliche also. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it wasn't what I wanted. And then I felt like the movie was super depressing also. So I was just like, dang, this is not what I thought I was about to watch. I don't know. But I still think overall, it was still a pretty good movie. I feel like normal people might like it. I don't know. But I was expecting more, I guess.
Well, I can take that off my list.
I don't even know what it is. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, I always see it on the little Netflix like what to watch, but I was just like, let me just see.
And he's been, all the buzz anyways because of was it The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which actually just completed.
Yeah, Auntie Lily doesn't like him. So,
Really?
yeah.
Why?
She doesn't like him because she met him. She knows famous people. She lived in New York for a while,
He's
so she
so
don't like
funny
him.
to me.
She don't like
Like, his
him.
actual personality in real life is so hilarious to me. He also has another movie on Netflix called is it The Wire? Something The Wire or Under the Wire. And he's like a cyborg type of dude. And what's his name? Damson Idris is also like his supporting actor. I don't know what to call it, but he's in the movie too. It's a pretty good movie.
That's what's up. What about you, Tess?
So I don't have cable or internet anymore, so it's been a little bit difficult for me to actually like view things. However, I will say this. I did something very interesting. I did something that maybe people would be like, "Really? What? What made you do that?" I never saw 12 Years a Slave when it came out. And I had really good reasons for it. I mean, like, really good reasons. Like, I bought it. I didn't buy it when it came out. I bought it, like, I don't even remember when. Sometime after, like, Walmart had it for, like, $4. Something like that.
Word.
And it was the first thing I ever bought on Blu-ray. So I'm pretty sure that I got it after I got my Xbox. And I got my Xbox in, I want to say it was 2015. So anyway, I had this movie. I never watched it ever. Okay, just I need to make a point that I never watched it.
I've never
And
seen it
I mean, and I have reasons. I have good reasons as to why I've never saw it. Because haven't I mentioned this on the show before? I just don't want to hate white people, so I don't watch certain movies. I was just like, yeah, every time I'd be like, maybe I should watch this. I'd be like, yeah, no, I don't want to be angry today, so I just don't watch it. And then I actually watched it, and I didn't feel that way. I wasn't angry. It was just extremely depressing. It was not, okay, let me take it back. It wasn't depressing. It was just very, very moving. And I love Steve McQueen. And it was very moving. I enjoyed the movie. And a lot of times I don't like to watch a movie twice that has content that I know will like bother my soul. I could actually watch it again because the performances were so amazing. And when Lupita Nyong'o was asking him to kill her, I could not, like, it was amazing. That was a great sequence. Like that, just sitting there and listening to that conversation made me cry. And it kind of just put me in another place when we all have like visions of whatever. We read history books and try to understand slavery. And it was just that moment was just, it was just different. It was just transformative. So I was just like, wow. Wow. And they had to put all the people in it. It was like, why has everybody got to be in this movie? It was like, and people you like. It's like, why Benedict Cumberbatch and Michael Fassbender got to be crazy people? Anyway, my point is, I watched 12 Years a Slave and I could have watched it 12 years ago and I didn't. I watched it today for the first time. Yeah, and I watched My Neighbor Totoro because I have these things on Blu-ray. I have three Blu-ray discs in my life. I own three, and it's 12 Years a Slave, My Neighbor Totoro, and Chicago. So I watched two of
Fam.
my three Blu-rays.
So I didn't. I have never watched 12 Years a Slave, and after watching them, I'm probably not going to, because I will be angry at white people, and black people actually, and just everyone in general.
Just everyone.
I saw my neighbor on, because it's on HBO Max, and I had seen other Ghibli films, but I knew that one was like a big one, and so I watched it, and I was mad disappointed. I
Because it's
think,
not that much.
yeah, I'm like, the artwork is amazing. They have like, well, at least the English version has like, celebrity voicing and whatnot. The story absolutely goes nowhere, and I'm like, what am I watching? Like, this was dope until the third,
Wait,
the
what
like,
was them again? What's
they,
that?
oh,
Is that where
them.
the black family like moved into the white neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay, I
Yes.
knew I didn't want to watch that. I just knew from the coming attractions. I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Fam,
But
I
yeah.
so and I actually did you a disservice. So Yana is family. I just wanted to throw that out there, because we didn't really introduce you like talking about, because we assume people know who you are. But this is family. All right. Yeah, but I ranted. I'm not gonna rant today, but I ranted last episode all about them and how black people should not watch it. So
Yes.
yeah, you don't need to. You really don't.
Don't.
You really don't.
Mm-mm.
I know it's tempting, because it's like, if you do watch it in the daytime, enter like watch an episode and then watch like something happy right after. Don't like binge it. Yeah, just don't watch it. It's not healthy viewage for black people. They do a lot of what's the term?
We call it porn. It's what is it? What do we call it? Something porn?
It's like black pain porn, or like
Revenge? Yeah.
it's our suffering, like just on
Yeah.
display in like the
Yeah,
goofiest manner.
I didn't understand why the show was created. I also felt like it was like a play off of Us and Get Out.
Yep.
Like it just seemed like it was kind of copying those type of movies or genres, and I was just like, really? Like y'all couldn't try a little harder to make it different?
There's
But
no
yeah.
nuance. Like, Get Out has nuance. Like, Us has nuance. There's things that they show that are, or depicted, that help tell a story or help get across a message. Whereas them, it's just exploitative and just not very good. So yeah, don't watch them.
My neighbor told Totoro.
Yeah, my neighbor is it just didn't go anywhere, and I was really upset about that. Not because it needed to go anywhere, but just that when you hear such lofty things about these films, you expect that. And granted, I watched it mad late, but
Yeah, me too.
like their Castle in the Sky and some of the other films that I watch, I'm like, this is amazing content. And so I was like kind of let down, and I'm not sure what time period my neighbor came out in, like in
It's
terms of,
old. It's
yeah.
really old. It's like 80, 81, 83. I can't remember. It's really old. And so I while I was watching it, I realized that because I waited a long time to watch that one too, even though I've owned it. I've owned it for like I don't remember how long, but I've literally owned it because again, it was the third movie I bought on Blu-ray, I think. Anyway, but I did watch it and I was like, okay, it's cute. I do pretty much always love Ghibli movies, but it didn't it was just very baseline. I appreciated the nod to kind of like a typical family.
Yeah.
It just really basic, dad works at a university, mom is ill, and he's got his two daughters that he needs to raise while mom's ill. And I get it, like it was just kind of simplistic. And he's just that he's not a cool dad, he's a nerd dad, but he's a nerd dad in a good way. Like he indulges his children's like fantasies because he's a nerd too. Crying out loud, archaeologist or whatever. But I understood that and I appreciated that because those girls had the world as their oyster in a way. Because he wasn't yelling at them and telling them to come home. He allowed them freedom, like to run around and do all kinds of things, and that was cute. So I felt like that was heartwarming. and even indulged in them, like liking spirits and wanting to, and you know, I guess he experienced that as a child too, like being able to be at one with nature and spirits. He was the one who even recommended, like when they were like, there's something crawling, he's the one who said, oh, they're probably just little soot gremlins, and was like, ooh, there's something scary in the house. That's cute. I thought that that relationship was cute. But then it didn't really do much. It didn't make me try to be more at one with nature. It didn't make me like so full of heart. And you couldn't tell what mother was sick with. Like it on in all honesty, it just looked like mom was taking a vacation from her bratty kids. I don't know what else she was doing in the hospital.
Yeah, it reminded me of like the first episode or the pilot episode of a series. Like
Yes,
it just kind of like sets
exactly.
the stage and then it goes away. And I'm like, wait, 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 that's it? Like you had this little girl crying for like 10 minutes, I'm feeling away, and then you just end it. Like, ha,
I
nothing
know.
happens. I'm
The
like,
best part,
really?
I'll be honest, this is what makes me watch the movie more than once. It's the younger sister, because everything she did was so real. And he has a, and Miyazaki is good at personifying young children, like young girls. He's really good at that. And like everything she did as a 4-year-old, like copying her bigger sister, even the way that she held the ear of corn that she wanted to take to her mother, the way she held it in her arm so tight, and she never dropped it, she never let it go. Like it, the determination on this little child who wanted to go see her mother in the hospital, there was a lot in there. And I know that Miyazaki is known for doing that. He makes his characters extremely like realistic, and but then he grabs a feature of real life and he pulls it out to the max to pull at your heartstrings. He's so good at that. But outside of the full character, the fullness of that 4-year-old and the, you know, supportiveness of the dad, it was flat. I mean, there was a crazy cat bus.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
It was like a bus that was a cat. Like that was cool. But I will say this, the Japanese version is always better, but the English version I was actually very disappointed in, because I forgot who played the dad. He played the dad flat. There was no inflection in his voice. There was nothing. And I don't think that he, that was bad. To me, it was bad. And so if you're watching it in English, then you're going to be like, okay, this is the most boring dad in the world, when actually he was really a supportive dad. So
I
I thought that there were
see.
some mishaps, but it was boring. So
Got you, got you. Yeah, I.
anywho, but that's it. That's all I watched.
Well, that's what's up. At least you watched something. And I know there was the fact that you know your internet was down or gone in this case. We made mention of that previously, and that's why we took a a week off outside of
A
me
hiatus.
having a vacation. And so now, if people are wondering why we sound a little different, we're actually in different places. And Tess is actually, you're in a stairwell, right? Trying to
I'm
get
in
web
a
served.
hallway. I am in a hallway so I can get cell service, because I have my Wi-Fi is acting a hot mess in my apartment, and I don't get cell service in my apartment. So I'm on the 16th floor of a building in a hallway with the window open so that it's less echoey. I actually closed the fire doors so I wouldn't disturb my neighbors on the 16th floor. However, the fire doors made the whole place really echoey because it wasn't echoey in the beginning. So I had to open one of the fire doors while we were talking, and then I opened a window to try to, you know, get some sound. I'm an engineer, people, okay?
Facts,
I know
facts.
stuff.
You
We
love
love
this
to see
ingenuity, I'm telling you. One of
it.
our main topics this week is talking about the Oscars, and not all of it, because we hinted on a lot of things that we, felt about the Oscars with the Golden Globes and who was being nominated, who wasn't being nominated, why Soul is gonna win everything and it really shouldn't. We talked about all those things, but I did want to highlight a few things. That being the wins that we had, some of the ones that we were looking forward to, one of them being for actor in supporting role, which we off air we were kind of confused because we felt that these should be main characters, and granted they're supportive in the film, but it seems like when you have supportive role, you also have a leading role, and there doesn't seem to be one here. But
Right.
we have Daniel. Is it Kaluuya?
Kaluuya? I think it's Kalua.
Kaluuya.
Kaluuya. I think I'm horrible with names. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do it on purpose. But a lot of these things, again, I'm reading it. I'm not like actually speaking to these people and asking them like, hey, how do you? Because that's what we did with Rami, right? Before we interviewed him, I was like, so how do you pronounce your name? And I was like, oh, thank you
Yes,
so
ma'am.
much. So he won for Judas and the Black Messiah. So shout out to him. He deserved the nod. He deserved the win. He did an amazing job. Lakeith Stanfield was also nominated in a supporting role, which was what we were confused by. We were like, okay, which one is the lead then? Because if Daniel's not the lead, was it Lakeith? Apparently, they're both
Was
supporting.
Lakeith.
I
It
feel like it
really
is
was
Lakeith
Lakeith.
because it's his story of that guy. What's his name again? I
Yeah.
can't remember.
I can't
Me
remember his
neither.
name, but he betrayed the Black Panthers, unfortunately. If you haven't watched the film, go check it out. Wait, it's no longer on HBO. You can check it out though on different digital, like Vudu or whatever the case may be. It's not too much to rent, I believe, but a very, very, very good movie. And it doesn't make you mad at Black people. If anything, it makes not Black people, white people. It actually makes you proud. Even though Lakeith's character was kind of there's mixed emotions with his character, but overall, just seeing what we went through and what we did and how we were able to do some of the amazing things that we've done as Black people is really dope. Check out Judas and the Black Messiah. Awesome,
I
awesome
think
stuff.
yeah, it was a great movie. I enjoyed it. We spoke about it on our previous cast.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's really, really important to discuss, like, yes, Lakeith Stanfield actually was the main role. He was the main character. It was his story, just like Ayana said. And with that being said, understanding the role that he played, like understanding that this man really, really, really thought that he was helping. He thought that he was doing something because he was told, and he was the information that he was fed off of, plus his own, what do you call it, like his own freedom was based off of his actions. And he did think that he was helping. He thought he was helping the police. He thought that he was, part of making the world better. And he committed suicide after he saw the documentary. Like after he was like, wow, like he was duped. He was the
Right.
main character, so I am a little upset with the Academy that they didn't recognize him as a main character, because the director of the movie, Lakeith Stanfield, there, I think a lot of people in the film could have said, would have told the Academy, he's not a supporting role. He is the lead role. I mean, in all honesty, I think Daniel Kaluuya's performance was so magnetic and so powerful that it
Right.
may have eclipsed Lakeith's main role stance, but it doesn't change the fact that it was written as a lead role.
Right.
So I think that the Academy got it wrong there. I mean, they can probably talk about how I don't know anything. I don't know shit. I ain't shit.
Yeah,
That's my hill to die on, and I'm ready. Give me my guns.
see. It is a little confusing in that sense. And I could get from if you didn't watch the film, why you might think is that's the case, that it's two supporting roles. But like yeah, like you said, a lot of it is from his perspective. And so I mean, it starts with cl a clip from, a clip from the documentary, and then it ends with a clip from the documentary from his perspective. So it's like hello. And granted, the only reason I'm okay with him being nominated there is because he didn't get nominated in the lead roles. So it's like at very least he got nominated for something, and that's always you can always use that as your resume builder, right? Like I was nominated for an award. Even though I didn't win the award, I was still nominated. And
Well, that's
so
what Beyonce does.
what
Just saying.
Oh man.
Oh,
Yeah, she does. Yep. Another highlight I wanted to
out to
make
Beyonce. We love her. She the queen. Go, Queen Bey.
another thing I wanted to point out was the winner of the best director, which was Chloe Zhao or Zhao? Chloe
I think it's Zhao.
Zhao.
Is it Zhao?
Yes.
I think it's Zhao.
Okay. Chloe Zhao. Yes. Okay. She won for Nomadland and actually set a record. She is the first woman of color and the first Chinese woman to win an Oscar for Best Director, which is freaking
Wow.
awesome. Like,
Yeah.
freaking awesome,
Dope.
especially considering that the Oscars and more so the Golden Globes, they love to make like if your film has either like directed by someone who is of Asian descent, or if it is has a lot of subtitles, et cetera, they kind of move you over to the foreign film category, even though you're an American citizen and you actually shot the movie here. They tend to do that. There was a lot of big hoopla about that with the Golden Globes. And so the fact that she was able to do that with the Oscars was pretty freaking big. Similarly to, last year, I believe, when it was Parasite that won for Best Picture. Like, that doesn't really happen too often.
Yeah, it
And so,
doesn't.
even some of the other snubs I'm not going to get into of the Oscars, this is a really big win for everyone.
It is. It is a huge win for everybody. I'm so happy for her. And again, yeah, just like echoing off what you said, if it was made in America, was it not made with an American studio? Like, it
Yeah.
doesn't count as a foreign film because, I mean, foreign language film and foreign film could honestly just be different categories. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's a film, the Academy of Arts and Sciences is an American Academy. Wonderful. Great. So you recognize American studios as the in that category. I get that. I can understand a foreign film category if it's a category that's not made in an American studio. That's fine. That means anything could be an American film. I mean, in a foreign film. And then foreign language, I mean, honestly, I think they said that they were going to like not have the foreign language. I don't, it doesn't matter, whatever, who cares? I'm just jabbering. But my point is, yeah, it was American studio. Like it made on, she's American citizen, made in American, whatever. Y'all get over yourselves. Get over yourselves. This is a win. Go Chloe. Yes. Queen and hello.
I was mad because on Twitter I saw like an interview. I didn't watch the whole interview, but I just the little clip that I saw on Twitter, like the viewer person was like asking her about Brad Pitt and stuff, and I'm just like, and she didn't even know how to answer that. She was just like, I mean, it was cool. Like, why are you asking her about Brad Pitt when you should be asking about her and how it feels to that you just won an award? Like, it was just so
Yeah.
weird how they like off put that, but.
Because you know why? Because the interviewers literally don't have any qualifications. I'm not even let me go to the side note real. What's her name? Lightbulb head? I always call her Lightbulb head. You know
Oh
who I'm
my
talking about, right?
gosh.
From E. From E. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
No.
Oh
The
my
one
gosh.
who the one
Lightbulb.
who the one who got on the she's Italian. The one who got on Zendaya for her dreadlocks.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I
Yeah.
cannot think of her name, but that made me so angry.
Juliana Rancic,
Oh,
that's it. There you
wow.
go. Yeah, like sorry, I call her light bulb head because she's like her head is kind of like shaped like a light bulb in a way. But I'm just saying this because like, yeah, I've heard her say some really stupid stuff, but it's like on the red carpet because some of these interviewers, not just her, there's a bunch of them. I've seen them all say dumb things. They don't okay, I'm probably gonna get read for this because I don't have any qualifications either. But we're just on a silly podcast that we do from home for fun. We're not getting paid big bucks by E. But I'm talking about you have people and you're like, okay, were you a journalism major? Like, what was it? And they're on the red carpet asking all kinds of crazy questions or asking all kinds of stuff just to like be lighthearted and fun, but there's no professionalism to it. It's just about being lighthearted and getting the person to say something because you want to get the biggest names. I mean, like if you watched it's the red carpet is like 4 hours long for crying out loud. Like the Met Gala red carpet and you see all those cameras and all those stuff there, like it's insane. And so every person from every station is there with a mic and trying to get somebody. And they need a laugh. They need something to make it memorable. And they say dumb things. Like, I don't know, do you guys remember the person who was interviewing Rain when he did the movie that stupid movie with Naomi Harris that he did? And the person kept saying like, because he had two swords in the movie, and the person said
Oh, Ninja.
was trying to Ninja. That was an easy name. The person is like trying to get something out of him, like, oh, which one is your girlfriend, the swords. Right? He just kept trying to get him to say something. Because, you know, Rain's English back then really wasn't great. And he was on the red carpet, like, just kind of chit-chatting. And he was like, you know, how did you get swole? How did you get fit for this movie? And, like, Rain was saying, like, dumb. He was like, I worked out a lot. I ate a lot of chicken breasts. It was horrible. And then the guy said something about because he has the swords. And he's like, which one is your girlfriend? Or whatever. Because I guess Rain made a joke about, you know, he spent a lot of time with the sword. And so he was like, oh, so which one is your girlfriend? And then he just got irritated. He's like, come on, man. Like, stop asking me dumb questions. So these interviewers just say stupid stuff just to say anything. Oh, because they probably would go crazy if they were working with Brad Pitt. So they think that Chloe, in all of her glory in winning an Oscar, is going to be like, really? Yeah, what? Come on.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. And excuse me. To be fair, and what I mean by fair in terms about our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who aren't qualified at all in the positions they're in. I'm just gonna say that. Not qualified. Mm-mm. Especially if you know, they don't look like us, and that's all I'm gonna say about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But yeah, we wanted. There's, you know, you can see the listing of everybody who won. We didn't want to go down everybody because one, like we say all the time, we haven't seen every film. We tried to.
No.
We haven't seen every film that's up for Best Picture or Best whatever, and we only kind of go by what we've seen and.
Mm-hmm.
The people who deserve it, who always kind of get, like, you know, pushed aside or whatever the case may be. That said, all the information is there. A lot of deserving people did win. Unfortunately, One Night in Miami didn't – I don't think it won anything. I'm a little upset about that. And Maz Rainey's Black Bottom won for makeup and hairstyle. Chadwick Boseman did not win. They pushed his award off to the end, which was kind of crappy. So outside of those things, I think for the most part, the Oscars did a decent job this year. So
shout out to them for that. But I did hear that they missed out on Jessica Walter and Maya Rivera for In Memoriam. And that makes me kind of mad because, like, I don't know. That makes me feel a certain type of way, especially when we talked at length. We talked at length about both of them, but we talked at length about Jessica Walter and just how long her career was. And yeah. I was just like, it just made me kind of sad. I mean, like, it just made me sad. So
disrespectful.
Right? How they do Mallory like that?
Just so disrespectful. Just, man, I didn't even know that. I saw the memorial, like, I saw a bit of it, but I didn't go, because I wasn't, no one watches the Oscars like talking about, like,
I don't watch it anymore.
Literally, this is all news to me.
I watch clips.
I see it from Twitter, literally.
Right. I go and I watch clips. I watch, like, you know, oh, this is a highlight. You know, I'll read up on it a little bit.
Right.
I'll watch, like, an acceptance speech, but I don't just sit and watch the whole thing, because who does that anymore?
Anymore, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not what we need to do with our lives. We have better things.
At all.
And so, unless we have someone that we know personally is getting an award, and even then, you don't even have to, just wait to their to their spot to shine pops up, and then you tune in. Other than that, we don't know. So I didn't actually watch it to hear that they didn't have her in it, but that's disappointing. Like, you had enough time to put her in. And I don't know what, you know, like we said, we don't know what goes into making sure that the show runs smoothly, but we've seen them scramble before to say something, you know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of messed up. So hopefully they get that right. They typically, not the Oscars, but any other award shows, they typically do something the year after if they didn't do something. I know, for instance, the BET Awards did something for Prince and for Michael Jackson, but it was after the fact. So hopefully there's something to that effect. maybe a lifetime achievement. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but hopefully they're just not like whatever and just move on. So the next thing we want to talk about, again, I told you that was gonna be brief. We're gonna talk about Mortal Kombat, which may or may not be brief depending on what side of the fence you fall on. And the reason why I say side of the fence is because there's some foolishness going around about this movie, and I just kind of wanna, before I talk about the quality of the film, I just wanna like just touch on a couple things. One of them is if you like Mortal Kombat, I am not upset with you. I am not trying to sell you on why you shouldn't like the film. I don't want to ruin your day. Because I got flack for not liking Coming to America too. So I don't want to be that person. Have your joy. You can have your joy. Have it all. All right? Got that out of the way? Cool. For all of you know, there's these people that do this thing where like you're like, you know what? There's a movie that's like, you know, you don't have huge expectations for it, but you have a little bit of, you know, some expectations of like the acting, the plot, whatever. And because you express that you don't like it, these people come out of the woodworks and they go all the way to the left. Someone I saw say, like, you know what, I liked Mortal Kombat. It was silly, it was over the top, you know, and I expected that, but I didn't go in expecting Lord of the Rings. I'm like, who in the hell expected Lord of the Rings? Why are you saying this? Like, you know, it's not Schindler's List or anything. I'm like, fam, I who, when, how, what, and why? When did anyone express this that we thought it was going to be some Shakespearean whatever? Like, no one said that. Why do people have to go to the depths of the sea to pull a take and bring it all the way back to us to be like, why do you expect a little bit? Here's the thing, right? I like the movie Nacho Libre. Comedy. It's about a luchador. It has Jack Black in it. It's not, or Jack Black. It's not like supposed to be taken super serious. It's a comedy, right? At the same time, it actually has a decent plot. It has decent acting, and it's funny. I'm not expecting a whole lot, but it gave me something. I'm not gonna go in there and being like, it needs to be the next, I don't know, National Lampoon, the funniest film ever. Like, I'm not going in with those expectations. So if I am critical of the film, don't bring that up unless I say it. Unless I was like, I went into Mortal Kombat and I was expecting the best video game based movie ever. That wasn't the case. Nah. So for everyone who's on that side of the fence who just cannot stand that people don't like something, and I'm talking to you people with the Coming to America stuff. Chill. It's not that deep. Some people just didn't enjoy it. Okay. Now, for my personal review, I thought I'll say some of the good things first. I thought there was some good acting. I thought there were some good fights. I think some of the special effects. I think Goro looked nice. I think some of the. I liked how they explained how they got their special abilities. I think that was actually pretty cool. And that was about it. I think the plot was like rushed, especially towards the end. I think that there was a lot of corny acting. Like, I don't know who thought making Liu Kang emo was a good idea, but stop it. It was very Power Ranger-esque in the sense of how everything is done, how everything is. You know how like you ever watch like anime and there's like anime where like someone like throws a fireball and they just do it, and then there's anime where they like they have to say the name of the fireball, they have to do this, you know, song and dance or whatever. And no knock to Sailor Moon, because Sailor Moon was early. But you think about certain anime that does this, and you're like, if you would just smack this dude real quick, I think there's a lot of that in there as well, where Liu Kang is like overacting or underacting. I don't know. It's just poor. There's like a lot of poor, like things that happened that didn't need to happen. It also seemed like they didn't have many sets to film. Most of it happens in like two or three locations for the entire film.
Were they trying to be like the video game, like where it's like literally in one of four places?
Hey, that's honestly what I thought about though. That's honestly what I thought about, because I thought about the places and I'm like, I guess, you know, when you're in the game, you can pick like which place do you want to go
I mean,
to.
so I don't mind that too much, but it's like it looked like the budget went somewhere and it didn't go in other places. I'll just say that, right? So then I'm like, okay, I can get over all that stuff. You know, cheesy acting, you know, campy, over the top, whatever. It's a video game film, so I'm expecting a little bit. The original film, you know, back in, I think, 95 or whatever, like, it wasn't the greatest thing ever. It was better than this, though.
Yeah, I need
And
to watch that one.
the and
No,
here's the thing, right? That the new Mortal Kombat does a decent job of explaining certain characters. They explain Sub-Zero, they explain Scorpion, they kind of let you know their background. The original
don't.
film didn't. They kind of just introduced them as two bad guys and that the Earth Realm characters had to fight, right? So in this sense, I'm like, okay, cool. We went into the history of these characters, why there's a huge feud between their clans. For people who don't know, Sub-Zero kills Scorpion's family. So Scorpion is basically Batman, okay? And so they tell you about all these things, right? And so I'm like, oh, cool. So it starts off great. You know, how Jax loses his arms is really, really cool. Sub-Zero is just cool all around. And then we get to a point in the middle where they start giving too much exposition on the tournament. Now, the whole reason for a certain character, Cole, yes, Cole, we don't need Cole. Cole was not needed,
He made me mad.
but
Oh my God.
we have Cole. Cole is supposed to be, he's a character that's never been in the game. He's supposed to be the audience. Like, he's the reason why we get exposition. He's the reason why, you know, they can kind of introduce all these characters and these fantasy stuff all to the audience, right? The thing is, we don't need him. The original film showed that. The original film had Johnny Cage. This film doesn't. Johnny Cage didn't know what the tournament was about. So guess what? Liu Kang and the people who did know informed him of it. And the audience found out through Johnny Cage. We didn't need a random character. And but I was like, you know what? It's cool. He'll take the role of Johnny Cage. And, you know, maybe he has a cool tie to one of the other characters in the film. I'll let it be. But then as you watch the film, you realize that he isn't needed. Like, he doesn't move the plot. He's not really important. He doesn't do anything memorable. He just is there for people to dump buckets of story on. That's it. He's and granted, the actor is really great. His fighting is really great, but he's not needed. They also took characters who have interesting backgrounds and just are interesting in general and kill them. They killed them just to show a fatality. The fatality was cool, but we didn't need that. The original movie did that. There was a part in the original movie where Sub-Zero is displaying his powers and he kills a random minion. And it's like, look, a fatality. You didn't need to kill someone who could have had a cool story or a cool cameo or whatever the case may be. You didn't need any of that. So then we get to like a part of the film where again, it's just random, right? Like, they're in the desert looking for Raiden, and Liu Kang just magically appears out of nowhere while Sonya and what's his name is fighting. And they're just like, oh, I guess we follow this dude. Apparently, we go with him. And so they just walk in the desert. They find Raiden, and he doesn't want to talk to them. He's like, who are these people? I'm like, Raiden, you are horrible at your job. What are you doing? Like, it's just so terrible. Raiden doesn't even fight in the film.
What?
He's really there as a mouthpiece
All
for a
he
few
does is
seconds.
he makes little like force fields.
He made a force field and he teleported people. It was the,
Yep,
oh my
that was
God.
it.
The best part.
Seriously, like the person you want to play in the game like the most because he has the awesome most lightning god powers doesn't do anything.
He was an ass god. I'm sorry. Like, I not
This
not
is
not like not
stupid.
like Thor, like, you know, Asgard. No, he's
Yeah,
ass
I
god. He's an ass god. He didn't do well at all. Kung Lao was really dope. His fighting was really cool.
He was
Shang Tsung
awesome.
was bad, like just bad over the top acting. And then we have Kano. Kano was great. Kano was funny. He broke the fourth wall. He was just all over the place in terms of his jokes. He saved portions of the film because of just the way he acted. He was great. Like, I think everybody from like people who liked it, who disliked it, they think Kano was awesome. And he was. He was great. But a lot of it was Power Rangers. A lot of it was cheesy and not in a good way. I keep saying that. So then, again, talking with people online, I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about Mortal Kombat. Oh, the way Jax gets, so like the way they get their abilities is that they have to go through something. Like they have strong emotional tie to someone or experience extreme pain, and they're able to, like, I don't know, break through this wall of themselves and learn about themselves and be able to use like magic. And which is actually a decent explanation of why Liu Kang can throw fireballs. Jax gets his arms from picking up a boulder that is on top of Sonya. It is the most, the optics of a black man getting his ability by helping a white woman.
I'm fam. Weak.
Fam.
I never even thought of it like this.
His whole, and
oh
granted,
my God.
Granted, Jax and Sonya Blade are friends. They have been partners mm-hmm. and friends for years, right? In terms mm-hmm. of backstory. But the way it looks, he has these like puny little robot arms that they kind of built. I don't know. They look like they're built out of stone. And he's trying to lift up this, you know, giant rock that's on Sonya Blade, and he's like, I have to help her so much, and then he grows from his body two giant metallic arms, like robotic arms.
First of all, I was confused how she was even still alive. I was like, wait, what? How was this rock? Because did she even have her powers yet at that time?
She didn't, and it's like this whole, like, yeah. Apparently he needed robot arms to pick it up. It wasn't that heavy, apparently, because she was like, oh, I'm good. I just got a scratch on my knee. I'm good, though.
Literally, wow. I'm like, was it really on her? Or was it, like, on one part of her? I'm confused.
Right, it was, like, on her pinky toe, and she couldn't get up. It was... So, anyways, but then what really pissed me off, I'm going to go back to talking about the people who defend the film, but what really pissed me off was when we get to the end of the film, where we actually have, because there's no tournament. Mind you, Mortal Kombat is about a tournament. There's no tournament in the film.
It's about a tournament. Yeah.
It's not in the film.
Oh my God, wait.
It's not in the film at all. When they finally get...
You're bringing up a lot to me.
When they finally... when they finally fight, they finally fight, like, I mean, a real fight. The fights are over so fast that I couldn't even pull joy from seeing these iconic characters battle each other because they're over that quick. Not only that... Mm-hmm. They make it a montage. They cut from one fight to the next, and then go back. So you don't actually see a full fight. You see, like, yeah. Sonya and Kano fighting one another. Then they flip over to Cole and Goro fighting. Then they flip over to Liu Kang and someone. And it's like, I don't get the full fight. Why are we...
Was this low budget? Like, what?
It feels mad low budget.
It kind of was.
And here's the thing. Working within your budget is okay. Like, that's not a knock on the film if it's low budget. But the idea that, how are you cutting and editing this that it's so choppy? And then, like,
yeah.
For the people who, I guess, who couldn't really fight, they just took the camera and threw it in the air. Whatever scenes that they captured when the camera was floating around, that's what they got. That's the fight right there. If you missed, you saw an elbow, a foot, some fire, and that's it. That's what you got. Like, certain people who could fight, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, certain actors, they kept the camera focused on them so you could see all the punches and kicks and all that. Other yeah. characters, not so much. So, all the people who are
like... Yeah, Hiroyuki Sanada is, like, the bomb, so, like...
Yeah, so, like, all the people who are like, you know what? It's a video game movie. You should expect A, B, and C. Look, I've loved action movies my entire life. 80s action films, 90s, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of goofy stuff that happens in these films. At the very least... You got to give me something to work with. If you're going to be cheesy yeah. all the way through, give me some dope action. If you're going to be, mm-hmm. you know, your plot is full of holes, give me something else. Give me something pretty to look at. Don't do all of the bad things, like, all together. Like, don't do, and then expect me to be like, oh, well, it's a video game film. You should expect certain things. Here's the thing, right? You ever watch, think about Batman. I know I'm picking on Batman, but just think about Batman, right? Batman and superheroes in general are mad corny. He runs around in tights. Yes. He's obsessed with bats. He has all the money in the world, but doesn't actually invest it into the neighborhoods that are terrible. He dresses up as a bat and he beats up robbers until the Joker and the Riddler and all those other people come. He was beating up petty crime or petty thieves or whatever the case may be because his parents were killed a long time ago. Like, that mm-hmm. that part... him trying to fix the neighborhoods turned into him studying Kung Fu and turning into a bat, right? Corny. Corny.
The reason, don't forget, he slept upside down.
Fam. The fact that we're able to, and mind you, in some iterations, he even had a bat dog, okay? Corny.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, bat dog. And Superman had like a super dog. It's a whole thing. So
DC.
I like super dog though. I like super dog, but bat dog seems weird to me.
Here's the thing, right? Or the fact that he keeps bringing in kids to be his sidekicks. There's so many things you could say about Batman, right?
Yeah.
However, why do people like to go watch a Batman film? Why do they like the Nolan films? Because it's taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Not seriously in the fact that, okay, we know that this is fantasy. We know that this is fantaful, is what I was trying to say. We know that a lot of what's happening is corny. The fate of the universe or the fate of the world based on a martial arts tournament is kind of silly. But if it's played in a certain way, people can kind of get behind it watching it on film. I can get behind Batman beating the crap out of the Joker because we're taking this serious. Like, in this world, Batman is a thing. Okay, what can Batman do? Oh, Batman's kind of cool. He's beating the crap out of people. And he has, like, all these cool gadgets and whatnot. Like, you start to believe, you know, the fairy tale. You start to believe that. Mm-hmm. That's not the case here. I'm constantly being pulled out of this world because something super nonsense, you know, just nonsense. Or something that's corny to the point of, like, cringe. Mm-hmm. Like,
Do we know if the Power Ranger people worked on this movie? Or what if it was... What if they didn't even get the Power Ranger people? What if they got the VR Trooper people? Because that's bad.
Freaking Beetleborg. I don't know. It was... And, you know, maybe I'm being a little too harsh. I don't know. I just feel like... Go ahead.
I was going to just say for me, since I'm like a different viewpoint because I'm not a gamer. I played the game, of course, many times, but I'm just a button smasher. I don't really know backstories, like, you know, I don't know everything. So when I watched the movie, I was just like, oh, okay, action, this is cool. Like, I actually liked it just because it was clearly entertaining. I came to see some fights. I feel like I saw the fights, but I knew that the actual fans were gonna have things that they didn't like about it. I even went on my Twitter and was like, I kind of liked the movie, guys, but I asked some people, like, what was actually bad about it from, like, you know, the fans' viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And, like, even for me not being a super fan, I could still tell, like, I know that people probably weren't going to actually like this. I'm just, you know, easily pleased sometimes, you know? But I felt like the character development was kind of rushed, too. Like, I mean, they did show the backstories, but the whole movie seemed rushed. Like, I felt like it actually could have been a longer movie, honestly.
Facts.
Like, I feel like it really could have been a longer movie. The fight, like you said, the fights could have been longer if the movie was longer. Like, I just feel like they could have actually put more effort into all of it. I don't know. It just seemed kind of rushed and it was kind of just like, yeah, this is Mortal Kombat, so of course everyone's gonna love it. And it's just like, but wait, you guys are just doing random things. Cole's character really was just like, why are you like this? he was making me so mad. And this other dude on Twitter was like, yeah, he was literally a loser. I'm just like, because when Raiden like made the portal for him to go back to his family, I was like, why is he doing this? Like, why would you go back to your family? You know you're supposed to go help. It was just so, like, I just didn't understand why. Even though he got his powers after that, from that experience, I still was mad because it was just like, dude, why are you here? You clearly went all the way to a whole nother universe or world, and now you're just like, actually, I can't do this. I'm gonna go back. Like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, after
he did that too easily.
Yeah, he did that after his family almost got assassinated. So you're saying you're just gonna sit in the house and wait for these people to come get you because you don't want to fight with the god of
literally
lightning. Like, you just like, I'm done, dog. I'm, you know, I was here, I tried it, you know, it didn't work out, and I'm just gonna go with my family and wait to be murdered, apparently. Like, I don't, yeah, fam, it was a lot of questionable things. And you know what, again,
his family was braver than him.
Facts. I think and I think the expectations is what kind of changes in terms of who would like it and who don't, because again, we like bad films, we like the What, Speed Racer? I like the Speed Racer film.
I love Speed Racer.
Racer.
They
I
did a
love
great
that movie.
job.
There you go. I liked a lot of the Transformer films. But me being a
Except the
huge,
last one.
well, yeah, Bumblebee was great, but the one before that, horrible. But
Was it last night?
my thing was like, I'm a Transformer fan, and this is all I have. I don't have another real, you know what I'm saying? So at the very least, I know that this is bad. Like the Transformers 3 and Bumblebee stand out as like awesome. The others are not good. But I at least acknowledge that. There's this weird thing where like you aren't allowed to be critical of something that is, I guess, on a lower tier in terms of quality. And I'm like, you can critique that too. There's levels. There are levels. Like I said, there's comedies that, you know, we look at Scary Movie, the Scary Movie versus National Lampoon stuff versus, you know, any of these type of films where it's like, there's, I think Scary Movie 1 and 2, I laughed. The rest of them, nope. Not a chuckle at all. So there are levels. Just because it's a video game movie, my friend was like, shout out to Jamie, I'm gonna have to call you out. He was like, you know, as long as there's good fights, that's all you need. And I'm like, that's kind of like saying,
So it's like yes, but no.
yeah, because
No.
a lot of films have good fights, and they're still trash.
They're definitely trash. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know if you all watched Blood, the movie, years ago. And I don't think you've seen this, but Blood the cartoon, it was so long ago, and I guess it was, I don't know, college science. It was a project or something. I thought Blood was great when you turn the volume down. Just don't look. Avatar is the same way. Just turn, not Avatar, Avatar. I mean, The Last Airbender, Avatar. You turn the volume
Oh
down on The
gosh,
Last
I can't.
Airbender. It was
What's
bad.
wrong
That
with
was
The
a bad
Last
movie.
Airbender? I can't.
Okay,
Oh,
come on now.
the movie.
The movie. The movie
Yeah, the
was
movie
garbage.
was bad. Like to
But
the point
if
where,
you
oh my, to the point, Mortal Kombat was better than Airbender.
Okay, well, that gives me
Dang,
hope.
dang, I can't remember now.
It's
I don't
that
know, maybe
bad. It
I'm
was just
easily like I'm
bad.
easily pleased. Like sometimes I don't know. Like I can be a hard critic too, but sometimes I'm just like it wasn't too like I don't know. I can let things slide.
I
You're right.
guarantee
You do
you,
that.
if you go watch it right now, you will be pissed off. You will just be angry. Like, what is this shit? Like, I don't like just the fact that not all the actors could say the main character's name properly. They literally, in the
Okay,
film, said it two
what?
different ways within
He was
moments of
like,
each
my name
other.
is Ong. My name is Ang. What? Dude, figure it out. Figure
Right.
out if his name is Ang or not. His name was always Ang. Why is it Ong now? And why is it an Ian? His name's not Ian. Okay.
My name is Jacob.
It's
Hey, this is Jacob. Who the hell is Jacob? Like it's just, yeah,
Wow.
like just so there you go. Quality. I didn't expect a ton from that film, but I expected better than that. I didn't expect a lot from Mortal Kombat, but I expected better than that. That's all. I just expected a
I
little bit more,
feel
especially considering we have a whole blueprint of a film that's way better in the original 90s film. They
it.
did a re an animated film, Mortal Kombat: Scorpion's Revenge recently, and that was better. It's like, dude, you have a
They also did
blueprint.
that. They also did those, like, was it like a 20-minute movie that was on? It wasn't even a
Yes.
movie, it was just a preview. Remember
The
that years
shows,
ago?
yeah, they made it like a whole series of that. That was better. Like you have the blueprint for all these things, and you just like, nah, I don't want to do any of that. Just burn it all down. I don't. The only thing they took, like I said, the first 7 minutes was great. That's the only thing
Amazing.
they took. Everything else was fugazi. I don't know why.
Yeah, it went downhill after that. The beginning was what told me and my sister were like, oh yeah, this is about to be good. This is about to be good. The costume design, everything, the setup, it was looking good at first. And then after a while, I was just like, okay, is it gonna get back up to what it was before? Like, all right. Oh, it's the end of the movie already? Oh, Johnny Cage is gonna come? Oh, okay. There's gonna be a second movie. Like, I don't know. It was just like, dang, wow.
Yeah,
That
it was.
happened.
Yeah, I mean, if they make another movie, hopefully it's better. I'm thinking X2, you know, X-Men X2. I hope it's like that. But if it's not, oh well. Yeah, if you enjoy it, more power to you. I will probably forget about it after next week. And I've watched the original like five times. So just throwing that out there. I might go watch the original after this podcast.
Next movie, Street Fighter.
Oh my gosh! You know what? In a way, Street Fighter is slightly better than Mortal Kombat because at least
I used to always get them confused.
We at least got a drunk Jean-Claude Van Damme in that.
We got Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's all I cared about.
At the very least, we got that and some hilarious moments. So,
such a bad movie. Yes. But Jean-Claude, anyway.
He was drunk and high through most of the filming. It's amazing. It's amazing stuff. You got to read up on it. It's I don't know how so that good. Film came out.
A bunch of his films.
I don't know. Beyond Mortal Kombat slander, the last thing we wanted to talk about was Ayana's recent artwork, I want to say, and her YouTube channel, which I recently peeped. And you do an awesome job. Like I was I was looking at the editing, and I'm a bit of a nerd in this area, just in most things, I guess. But I was looking at the editing, the quick edits, and the transitions, and a lot of the things that you were doing to kind of keep the person's or the viewer's attention. And really good job. So I wanted you to kind of talk about some of your artwork as well as your YouTube channel and just basically anything that you're doing, honestly. Because from what I was being told, that you didn't want to share your art. You didn't want to share certain things. So I'm kind of interested in how did you start showing your art more so? And what is your art?
This is my art is still like under construction.
I love it.
But I've definitely been getting more comfortable with actually showing people like this is what I do. I've always done this like ever since I was little. Like that was like my first thing. Well, I sing too, but you know, I've always been into art. But I feel like I've definitely taken like time away from my art. Like in high school, I think I stopped taking art class maybe in 10th grade because I was doing chorus and I had other classes I was taking and I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to take art out of it. And then I didn't come back to it until I think my senior year I took art. And I remember my art teacher saying like, oh my gosh, I wish you took art all 4 years because your portfolio would have been great and colleges would have loved you and blase, blase. And I was just like, dang. And I remember I took an art class my freshman year of college and then I didn't like it after that because I've noticed that, like, I don't like people telling me what to do. And I'm kind of a free spirit. So I like to, I always call myself a lazy artist because I like to do my art and I finish it when I finish it and it kind of just happens or it doesn't. You know, like, I don't like the teacher telling us what the project has to be on. I don't like deadlines. So, like, I've taken art out of, like, school. That was like a big deal for me, but I feel like recently I've gotten back into my art and I've been really starting to paint more. That's really been my thing right now, painting portraits. Actually, I realized as a kid my art was always sketching faces. Like I've always sketched faces. I sketch eyes a lot. Like that's like one of the main things I always draw are eyes. You know, that's like the window to the soul. So I feel like eyes have a lot of detail to them and I don't know. It's just like the main thing I draw. So I've definitely been focusing on portraits more. I always find myself like screenshotting pictures I'll see on IG or just like models or certain stuff I just think is cool. And I'm like, ooh, I want to paint their face or I want to draw their face. So that's been a recent thing. I actually recently painted my first portrait of Ari Lennox and it's not finished yet, but it's going to be on my Instagram soon at NaturallyYana is my Instagram. But I'm pretty shocked. The feedback that I got from it was crazy. It's like I know that I'm good at my art and my craft, but like I guess I don't believe it sometimes. So that's why it's been hard to share my art. But now segueing into my YouTube channel, I feel like my YouTube is actually not persuading me, like forcing me to actually like put myself out there and know that I'm good at my stuff and like my art really is good. So my YouTube channel right now, the last video I posted is called Oshi Creative. And so it's a segment that I'm going to start on my... because people don't know. People really don't know. So I feel like that's something people would be like. They'd be like, oh, she's creative? Oh, she's artsy? Oh, okay. So yeah, that's the that's the name of that segment on my YouTube. So I'm gonna be posting more videos of just like anything art related, creative, artsy, craft, stuff like that. So it should really be fun. I feel like my YouTube is giving me more space to actually be myself, because I actually, if anybody didn't know, I actually just stopped school. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what I want to do, and I know that creating is like a big thing for me right now. So I feel like the YouTube channel is going to give me that freedom I've been looking for a long time. Like, I feel like I can actually do what I want to do, practice putting myself out there, people will see my art. And I'm glad that you brought up my editing, because literally I made that video on iMovie, and like some of my friends who actually edit, they're just like, yo, you made this on iMovie? And I was like, yeah, like there's so many things you can actually do in iMovie that people don't even understand. All I do is go on YouTube and I'm like, how do you do this on iMovie? Like, but there's a lot of little tips and tricks, but I'm glad that you noticed that, like, I was trying to keep the audience's attention, because like with YouTube, the thing with their algorithm right now, it's like you got to have long videos, but you got to have people watching the whole time, you know? So I kind of feel like those quick edits are like just little things popping up, or like, you know, the sound effects or voices in the background. It kind of just keeps the person kind of engaged, like, oh, they're a little weird, like, you know?
Nah, yeah. It was dope. Like, I was watching it. I was watching because I clicked on it, and it's just like before we even, you know, I think Tess was talking about, like, she wanted you to come on the show and talk about some of your art. And I was like, oh, word, let me check out, being that I have a bachelor's in illustration. So like fine arts. So like I'm an art person, I guess. And so I was like, oh, let me check out, you know, so I went to your IG and I was like, oh, that's dope. And then I went to your YouTube page. And so I did see the Oh, She Creative, I think it's episode 1, painting pots for my plants. And so I was like, oh, okay, look at cuz, I see you. And then you had the transitions and like the sound effects, and then the you made it so like you would flip from one side to the next. I was like, oh, okay. So it was dope. I think you should definitely continue. There's a lot of, I think that, how do I say this? So with me, I'm always like, I don't sound like I should, or I don't like have the charisma to pull off certain things or whatever the case may be. Like I'm good in my lane and I do really well in my lane, but there are certain things that I notice with other people who are naturally, I don't say extroverts, but like naturally, you have a chemistry about you that would want someone to like tune in. Like, oh, okay, what is she talking about today? And then with the way you're editing, it's like, if I was thinking about clicking away, I don't, because I'm like, oh, that was that was rather funny. And so I think that is something that's really hard to find right away. Wow. And people take a long time to edit.
Thank you so much.
People take a long time to edit. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not just critical on films, folks. But like,
stupid.
Like the way you like the flow, and even like what you decided to do a video on, that says a lot about where your head is in terms of what is or isn't like trending on YouTube, in a sense that where like you can make your own space. Oh, this is something that's that no one is really tapping into. Let me tap into this, and then you do it in a way that's familiar to other YouTubers or popular YouTubers, but then you do it the way that you're doing it, which is unique in places, and so it works. And so even if it's not something that, you know, doesn't take off immediately, it's something that I can see, especially as you get more comfortable, you doing it more often, I think that you will start to pick up people rather quickly. Like, I think you will.
Wow. Thank you.
You have I think you would pick up people. And I'm not just saying because, you know, your family. Granted, I wouldn't necessarily dog you on the podcast either, but wow. I'm saying it in a sense that's like, I'm being truthful. Like, I think you did a really good job. And I think you should keep doing it.
You do, Ayana. You do great. You do great. We've always known that you've had this talent. So I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you that you found something that you like and it's gaining your confidence. Because I don't know how many times I tell you.
Literally, y'all. She literally texts me or emails me every year. Like, Google's having the artist. What is it, like the banner? for the Google
yep.
logo.
Oh,
you're like,
Google,
submit
yep.
your art, submit your
yep.
art. And I'm like, okay. Or she's like, sign up for the Voice this year. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'd be encouraging this little girl, like,
but see, she
because
told you she don't like listening to people. She already told you.
I know, okay. I know that, I know, and she's like me because I don't either. I don't either, but I know this. I think one thing that I try to do as an aunt, because yeah, obviously everybody on is my niece, but like I try to give you the encouragement that maybe I felt like I didn't have. And encourage you on the talents that I know that I don't have. Because, like, I don't draw. I can't draw. I shouldn't say I can't draw. It's just that I've never had anybody patient with me enough to teach me how to draw for real. But
right.
because I did learn that, yes, people who can't draw can draw after they're taught.
You can.
But you yeah. can. But people who already have a natural eye for drawing, like Ayana, that was a God-given talent that was given to you. I don't even remember how old you were when you drew, like, your first portrait. It was just ridiculous. I was like, what the heck? Like, you drew yourself a lot. And I loved those drawings you used to come home with. And I'm like, this girl can draw. And so I just knew I was, this girl's talented, because it wasn't just, it wasn't just a portrait that a sixth grader draws and you're like, oh, this is good. It was like, this is a portrait that a sixth grader draws that gets on the news type work.
Oh.
So I've always thought that you've had that, and you have imposter syndrome like all of us do. And
yeah.
I think that's something to really, really talk about. And so seeing you grow by having this page and seeing you gain your confidence in your own time, you know what I mean? It wasn't anything that any of us could be like, do this, do this, do this. You have to grow in your own time. I don't know if anybody listening remembers, I may have said this before, but I sing, Ayana sings as well. Ayana is an amazing singer. And I was singing with my crappy ass band. And I'm like, Ayana's coming. So I made Ayana sing with the band, right? This girl can sing, okay? She can sing. She on my Instagram singing. But I would be like, Ayana, you can sing. What is wrong with you? Why are you not trying to sing in front of, like, a live audience? And what did you say to me? You're like, oh, I've never sang live before. And I'm looking at you like, huh? Remember that?
Yes.
So, and she's, we're really standing there and she's all nervous and everything. And I'm like, you sing all the time. You never, like, come on. I was like, good. You've never sang live. Great. This is your moment. Okay. This is literally your moment. Yeah. I had to sing live in church growing up, but that's different. Or you sing at chorus shows or whatever, but this was in a bar with microphones and a band.
And it's crazy because I actually like that setting better. Now that I think about it, I have sang live, but it was in like 12th grade at like a Black History Month show, and like we're on stage and, you know, the audience is way bigger and mm-hmm. it's dark. So you actually can't see them, and you would think that would be someone's favorite, you know, audience, because you don't really have to look or focus on anyone. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like the cafe bar feel because it's like
yeah.
cozier. And
it's
I feel
cozy.
Like you could even mess up a little bit and it wouldn't be bad. I don't know, it's just a different energy, and I feel like everyone's really focused on you and it's just more laid back, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain
nobody
it.
Cares nobody at cares they're not looking for perfection. It's so true. They're just happy that there's music. I realized that as well. I was new to, like, you know, bar, really, like, singing in bars and stuff. Let me take that back. I was not new to singing in bars, but I used to do karaoke. Singing with bars in bars in a band was new. So I was so happy that you were able to gain that experience, because I think that that also built your confidence. And where you are now with your channel and your awesome ass edits, because they are awesome. Look, remember the video you did where you were trying to do your baby hairs?
Oh my God. If you look at the difference from that video and this new video, you guys, it's crazy. And both are iMovies. So yeah, it's a difference. And I just can't wait to, like, my editing gets even better when I get, like, another editing software, just a better editing software. Because I took mm-hmm. a film class when I was in school, and that's definitely
yeah.
helped me too, just to know, like, different, just different things that actually help your film be better, like lighting, certain mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know, rule of thirds, like just simple things like that. You know what I mean? All of that really
yeah.
plays a factor into what people like. Like, half of it, even without your personality, especially with YouTube, mm-hmm. you have to know that the audience is literally going to look at your thumbnail first. So if you don't have a good thumbnail, that's already you're out the window. Second, when they click on your video, sorry, people are going to want to see a clear video. If your video is not clear, yeah, you don't know who's going to really stick with that. Second, you want it to be visually pleasing. Like, you really got to catch them in the, like, first 7 seconds, honestly.
Yeah, like, you're right.
It's a small window, so you have to put all of that into play. And I feel like I'm so glad that you guys touched on that about my videos, because that's what I was definitely trying to capture. Because I've noticed on YouTube there's actually like 4 or 5 other Naturalianas, and I'm just like, I had this name so long, I don't really feel like changing it right now. I might change my whole channel to Oshi Creative at some point. I don't know yet, but I'm just
that's
like
a good idea.
I might actually do that, but as of right now, I'm just like, I feel like I might be able to outshine them after a while. So, like, let me just doing my videos.
That's the purpose. You're going to eclipse them all.
So no one will see that we have the same name. I don't know. But, yeah, thank you guys so much for the feedback, because it definitely just changed my whole point of view about a lot of things.
It's solid. You can do it. I'm going to need to hire you to edit some stuff.
That's the whole point of this, actually. The real reason why we wanted you to come on was to puff you up and then hire you to edit our stuff.
Facts. Wow, I've been working with DaVinci Resolve, the free version, to try to edit some of the gameplay that we do. And
oh, I used to have DaVinci.
It's like, it's awesome and not at the same time. And because it does a lot of complicated things very simply and is user-friendly, but then the simple things, I feel like people do the opposite. If you have something that does things that are like really difficult really well, it doesn't do the simple things very well. Similar to like when the iPhone first came out, the iPhone couldn't send picture messages, but you could do all this extra cool stuff on the internet, you know? So it's like, it's similar to that, where I try to do certain editing and it doesn't work. So it's like, knowing that there's people out there who can do those sorts of things that also look like me is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. Yes. And then also the fact that, to be honest, a lot of us know a lot of talented people who don't do anything with their talent. And so, like, if for the people who don't know, like, for instance, the animation that we have that plays before you actually listen to this podcast on YouTube is done by a good friend of mine. And that being said, I could have done the artwork myself, but I was like, I don't have a lot of time because I'm doing other things like editing. And I'm like, oh, he's been doing art for however long. He's worked for, you know, everyone from Adult Swim to DC Comics. So like,
oh, wow.
He's already established, so he doesn't really need my help. But at the same time, it's like, why not pull him over here? If I'm willing to pay him, he does the work. And then I get to shout him out, Kelly Brown. Everyone knows. So, like, my audience gets to know who he is. And if someone else wants an animation done, they can go to him. So I get something done that I couldn't do myself because I didn't have time. And then he gets money as well as, you know, not fame, but, you know, like other people to notice that he's doing stuff, right? So then I have my brother made the music. Our intro and outro, he made the music. I paid him for it. And so when people ask me about it, I'm like, oh, my brother does that. Do you want his number? You see how that works? So it's like, I listen, like, for instance, it's the main, one of the main reasons I listen to the Joe Budden podcast, or I listen to Kevin Hart talk about, you know, the Plastic Cup Boys or whatever, because both of these people took whatever they were doing, saw that there was other people that were talented, and was like, hey, come over here. Let me show you something. Or at least let me, you know, display the stuff that you do. And because I already have a platform. And so everyone wins in this case. And so it'll be the same.
I think Issa Rae said something like that too. She said something about, like, you know, work with people around you. Like, instead of trying to, like, you know, reach higher up, you should stay, like, not stay on your level, but like bring other people that are like you so you guys can keep creating. So it like kind of levels up everyone at the same time.
Right. And why? Because why wouldn't you want everybody to win? Like that's just simple. For instance, in this, underneath this video, we're going to have information going to your IG, going to your Twitter, going to your YouTube, so other people can check it out as well. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. So I'm happy that you're willing to come on the show and talk with us about it. even though we had, technical difficulties and whatnot. but beyond that, it's cool. It's cool to hear that you're trying certain, new things. This has been like the spirit of the past 2 years because of COVID. Everyone's trying new things right now. So it's good that you're trying to do something and that you have a freaking talent at it. Like, you're pretty freaking great. So continue to do so. Continue to or not continue, but do tag me in new things so I can promote or just check out. Because we want to see more.
It's definitely coming, you guys. It's definitely coming. I already have a couple videos and my phone notes is crazy. I really need to organize it, but I have so many things planned, so it's just a matter of like planning it out thoughtfully and then rolling it out the best way I can. So I definitely feel like you guys said, my followers will start rolling in. That's why I love YouTube. I feel like I have a presence on Twitter and Instagram, but I feel like YouTube, I can gain a whole new fan base of people who actually really are seeing me. I feel like my Instagram and Twitter is like people I knew from high school and stuff like that, and they're probably just like, what? Or like it's like a platform where like they don't really show you the love. They kind of just see it and they're like, oh, okay. But I feel like with YouTube, this is like a new space for me to really like hone in on everything I do. So definitely more is coming.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. I also like, because I'm looking at it in the background now, you have the fun facts that pop up. Those are really cool as well. Like, just a lot of like forward thinking. Did you do a lot of like, were you checking out other YouTube videos to kind of get like a feel of how this is done? Or were you just like, I'm just gonna do whatever?
Literally, like as I'm editing, I have like two windows open where I'm like, oh, okay, I gotta go on YouTube to see how to do this one effect. And like I have a vision of how I want the video to flow once I have my footage, and I already kind of know where I'm gonna put certain edits in. So then I just kind of look up how to do them. And then like there's certain YouTubers I follow who like give tips, or just funny people that I love on YouTube where I kind of just see how they do things, and then I kind of like try to put my twist on it. Cause like if something's popular, like I'm sorry, I'm gonna do the same thing. You know what I mean? But I feel like the difference is that you gotta know how to like do it in a way where it's still you, you know? So I kind of just try to see what other people do and go like, oh, okay, let me see how I can do this better or do it in a way that fits me. So yeah, all of my stuff on my video is really just out of my head. As long as it goes with the footage and goes with how my humor comes out, I don't know. It just turns out how it turns out. The fun facts was really just in that moment, I don't know what I was saying. I was speaking about something and I felt like it was super confusing. So I was like, let me just add something right here to distract them. I don't know.
Now, that was really
Stupid.
cool. That was dope.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, we still have to do our side-by-side videos. I still want that to happen. It's gonna happen. We're gonna do
Oh
it.
yes, we do need to do that. It's gonna be
Yeah.
good. It's gonna be good. Once I get in the real groove of things, I feel like it's gonna be awesome. And especially if I can get paid from YouTube, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
That's the real goal, y'all.
But I think like as long as you approach it from, at least from what I've, my experience, I'll say, if you approach it where you want to just make something that you're proud of, I think the rest will kind of fall into
Right.
place.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. And that's what I don't want. I also just don't want to, like, let's say I do get big or something. I don't want to, like, lose myself in that fame or all the attention. I want it to still be me and personable. I feel like that's also something I bring that, like, I'm pretty personable in my videos. And I feel like people can tell, like, this is really how I am or how I, this is how she is, this is how she talks. I feel like I want to connect with my viewers. I don't want to just post a video because like I'm a YouTuber and I'm gonna do this challenge because everyone's doing this challenge and blah blah blah. Like I don't want it to be like I'm a YouTuber. I want it to be like, oh, I'm watching Ayana's channel because I just love seeing what she does. You know what I mean? Like there's a difference. So I just want to make sure I still hold on to that because I love that. That's why I was a communications major when I was in college, because I just like that connection with people. So I just want to never lose grasp of that.
Cool. See, that's what's up.
That
That's what's up, man.
is what's up.
Words of wisdom from the young.
No,
That's
it's
cool.
whatever.
So we are coming to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everyone for hanging out with us, listening to us ramble about stuff you probably don't care about. And yeah, just vibing. I think that, well, actually, I know there's a lot of stuff coming. I know I said that before, and I've actually delivered. We are now on a bunch of different places, from Spotify to Google Podcasts to Apple. We're just all over the place right now, as well as YouTube, if you could if you like to watch us on YouTube. I do have a lot of plans. Similar to what Yana was saying about all her notes, I have a bunch of notes. For instance, I want to eventually get cameras. I have a camera, but it's not what I want. I want, like, a dope camera so, like, we can film ourselves. Like, I have a lot of ideas. And what's cool about this is that it's a process. It's a growing type of thing. See, the fact that we were able to jump onto Audio Boom a few weeks ago was really dope, because we already had 50 episodes. So we were able to transfer all that content immediately. So all the people who watch us on YouTube who might have stopped because they didn't like watching the game footage, or they felt it was confusing, or whatever the case may be, they can now listen to us on Spotify. And a bunch of them have. If I look at, like, the analytics, we have a lot of people from, you know, Richmond, VA, shout out to them. We also have a lot of people from Ghana, actually.
I don't know how that happened. I didn't call anybody.
Ghana is number two. And the
apparently, my mother is probably listening to us. So I have no clue who's listening to us in Ghana right now.
And that's not to say that we have like millions of listeners right now.
It's yes, we do.
It's the idea that because, you know, with a new podcast, it takes a little while to catch on. However, because we have so many episodes right away, if you did like us, you can go and listen to those other podcasts. The people who did like us, who did like the newest episode, were like, oh, let me check out some of the older episodes. And so it actually helps that we started from another place and then we moved over here. You know, Drake started from the bottom and all that good stuff, right? So because of that, when we move to different places, or when we pivot, or when we add certain things like cameras or whatever the case may be, or in this sense, animations, they help. Because we already have building up a small fan base that grows. And so when we get the big stuff, new people come and see, oh, there's a community already. Let's stay. Essentially. Right?
That but the foundation. Idea,
right. And so essentially, and then also what this also helps is that when we get a big, big, big audience, we've already been doing this so much that we're not going to be over our heads. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like, oh my God, we have thousands of listeners. What do we talk about? Like, no, we just talk about what we normally talk about, because this is what got us those listeners. You know what I'm saying? So, like, same thing with your videos. You know, you're doing really great now. When all that attention comes, you continue to do what you're doing. You know, maybe grow in areas that you feel that you need to grow. But for the most part, you're already seasoned at that point. And so you're in the right position to capitalize on the audience. And that's what we're trying to do. And so, for the people who are like, I'm tired of watching video game footage, even though it kind of goes with our theme, shut up. we will eventually have videos and such that you can see our faces and hear us and all that good stuff. And also for the people
who are... I'm okay with that.
There you go.
I love that. I love watching podcasts with the actual footage. I love doing that. That's one of the main things I watch on YouTube.
The best part that I'm looking forward to is for everybody not seeing my face. So I will be wearing a different, like, mask every night.
You know what? That can work. If it worked for a whole band, you know.
Thank you, Daft Punk. Thank you for inspiring me.
It can work for us.
Now you're coming with the Daft Punk mask on.
Yes. But essentially, it's something that we look forward to growing and developing with. So if you stick with us, you'll be there for all the cool changes that are coming. So. Definitely find us, the Gamecast, all over the place. We're going to have stuff in the descriptions that kind of tell you where to go if you want to listen to other, you know, other DSPs, whatever, you know, that you like to listen to. I think the only place we're not on is SoundCloud, and because SoundCloud is kind of special in how they're doing things right now. All the other places like Spotify, we're there. So you can listen while you're washing dishes or whatever the case may be. But yeah. We have a bunch of cool episodes coming up, a lot of stuff planned. Feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell. I can talk sometimes. so you're up on all the new content. Definitely follow us on the Gamecast One on Twitter. That's where we're going to be posting all of our links as well. We have our own Twitter page. Yay! Follow us there as well. And I think we're going to get an IG. I'm not so sure. Mainly because I need to hire someone to handle all that. I don't know.
True. We'll just make Ayana do it.
I have.
I don't know. IG is not too important right now, so y'all don't even have to worry about that.
See, there you go. I have so many, like, accounts. I'm just. Anyways.
Honestly, I just use IG so I can follow all my drag queens because yay, Simone, yay! She don't want. Oh, Simone,
I hope that's
yay.
Not a spoiler.
Oh,
people, it's come on. So RuPaul's Drag Race is spoiled 13 seconds after it airs. I haven't even watched it. I haven't watched it because I had no cable, and I know who won. I literally found out within the hour. Oh, 13 man. Seconds is actually crazy. More specific.
They go crazy on Twitter for RuPaul. Oh my god.
Totally.
I gotta scroll with caution anytime I don't watch the episode yet, because I always watch it like on Saturday.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
you gotta strategically scroll.
See, people.
I think
messing.
I found out that I went to bed that night and found out. Like, nah.
Wow, you couldn't even sleep without finding out? That's terrible.
You can't sleep. You can't even sleep without finding out. You can't. You're gonna know. In fact, even if you don't know, you're gonna know. There's gonna be there's somebody in the building who's speaking loudly. You can hear it through a window. You're gonna know.
Yep. It's just like, dang, y'all, really? That's the combo I heard.
That's trash. That is trash. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry if we spoiled it for you guys, if it wasn't already spoiled. but yeah, internet people, man, I swear. It's disrespectful all the way around. But yeah, again, follow us on all the internets. Yes. So you're up on all the new content that's coming out. Yes. We typically record on Thursdays at 9 p.m. and the episode goes up on Friday. As long as nothing else happens, you know, COVID stuff happens. So as long as that happens, we're good. But yeah, look forward to more cool stuff. I think that's it for housekeeping. Yeah.
Ayana, you have anything in closing?
You know, follow me at NaturallyYana on literally everything. So
yeah, yes,
that's all.
Word. And she will be taking orders soon on portraits. It'll happen
and
eventually.
Get creative, y'all. Create something. Even if it's stick figures, create something.
She's right.
Well, that's the cool thing about...
Okay, wait. That's going to be our merch.
Stick figures?
Right there. No, even if it's stick figures. Girl, come on. That's on the merch. Something. Even if it's stick figures.
Oh, you're on to something. Because I definitely do want merch at some point. Okay.
I'm always on to something. We done talked about this before.
It's in the notes.
Wear my bubblegum shirt.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty much it, you guys. Thanks for listening another week. We are happy to be back, obviously, after we took the week off. We are happy to have Ayana with us. She's welcome back anytime. This has been a great discussion. Shout out to the Oscar winners. Woo-hoo! And, you know, people who make funny but not so funny movies about underworld martial art fighters or whatever. So we're going to tell you what we tell you every week. Wash your faces, wash your hands, wash your butts, and then wash your hands again. And it's just important to stay clean because, you know, we're out in the middle of a perpendicular. So please, everybody, get your shots.
A panoramic.
Get your shots. I'm getting my second one on Saturday. So... yeah, we're just happy you guys were with us for another week. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Just remember, hashtag don't be a dick, hashtag be kind. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Have a good week. Don't kill anyone this week. Don't cough on anyone this week. And wear your masks. haven't you seen, like, I saw a dude sneeze yesterday and he didn't even have his mask on. I was like, what's wrong with you? Son, do you know how quickly that sneeze spreads? It spreads in 12 feet in like 4 seconds.
Okay, wow.
Just saying, I saw that on the news, which was probably sensationalized. I mean, this is a parallelogram. So anyway, wear your masks, everybody. Have a great night. We will see you next week, everyone. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.